Well, in this room, we have life group leaders, we have pastoral extension team people, so we have Celebrate Recovery leaders and different class leaders, but you know, this is the A team right here, and I just appreciate y'all being here, and before I say anything else, I just want to say that I just want to express my appreciation for y'all. You know, Tanya and I have been kind of at it for a few days, and you know, you have some bumps in the road and all that kind of stuff, but man, you know, the battles that you fight on a daily basis, to have people that are around you that help you and support you and help you get the job done, man, I think I'd have jumped off the bridge a long time ago if I didn't have faithful folks like y'all, huh, baby? So I just wanted to say thank y'all so much for your faithful service. You know, I know it's unto the Lord, but you know, whether you realize it or not, it's unto us too, because there's no way, you know, we would be able to keep going without your support. So thank you very much for your faithfulness. Amen. So just pat yourself on the back like this, you know. But we thought about having a meeting. You know, that flood, those floods and all that stuff, that kind of messed up our calendar. Did it mess up y'all? Did it mess up y'all life a little bit? You know, where's Tony and Kobe? I know it kind of messed up their life. Oh, just a little bit. And I don't see Vernon and Kate, but, you know, there's... How many of you houses flooded? You know, is that Tony and Kobe the only ones? Lil didn't. Where's Lil? Didn't your house flood? Yeah, y'all house flooded. But man, I can't imagine. I know Tony said they just moved in like this past weekend or last weekend or something. And so praise the Lord, huh? Yes. Hallelujah. But anyway, what a crazy year, huh? With the floods and all that, and then. You know, wow, the aftermath of the elections, and it's like, whoa. So, but it's a good time. It's a good time to be on planet Earth, amen? It's a good time to be in the kingdom of God, because I believe, you know, I really believe that, you know, the church's finest hour is yet to come. And, you know, I think that, you know, in dealing with the elections and all that, I keep thinking, okay, somewhere along the way, we're going to have a one-world government, and a one-world currency and all that stuff. And so sooner or later, I know America won't be in the position that it is now. You know, it's going to have to be part of that one-world government, you know. And so, regardless of what I see going on, I know that that's down the road because that's what the Lord told us is coming. And so, but on the other hand, so that, you know, it's just like, you know, although I know it's coming, you know, I guess in your subconscious, you're like, I hope it don't happen while I'm here, you know. But then now you got grandkids and you're like, oh, I hope it don't happen for a long time, right? But we know it's going to be okay, right? He's in control. But the other thing that I think about, you know, with everything going on in the States, in the world, is that the scripture in Acts where, you know, Joel prophesied that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so that's an encouragement to me because, you know, I think as the world gets crazy and crazier, I think it's going to, you know, the anointing of God is going to intensify, you know, and I think it's, you know, I think it's just going to get stronger and stronger. And I think for the church, I think we'll see miracles like we never saw miracles before, and we'll see things like we never did. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I'm sure some of you do. But, you know, I was just talking to somebody this morning in between services, and they drive for FedEx or UPS or one of those, and they were telling me about a small town that they deliver to, and they said the meth problem is so bad that whenever they deliver packages, the homeowners hardly don't get them because people are like following their trucks to get the packages before they even get them. And they said, man, you know, people are walking around, just strung out on meth. And, you know, I'm sure y'all have seen some of the pictures where, you know, parents are passed out in the front seat and they got kids in the back seat, you know. But, you know, this is happening in a lot of places, a lot of small towns. You know, I know in Erath, it's an epidemic in Erath, and I know it's an epidemic in other places. But I also was talking to somebody this morning, and they said they were cleaning out a building in a small town. And all of a sudden, apparently the building was a place where the meth addicts were using to do their stuff. And they came in, and they were surprised to meet each other there. But this guy just started ministering to him, and two of the three of them got saved, you know. And so, you know, I got to thinking about that, and I'm just thinking, man, you know, whenever Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave, how many of you know that was a good way to advertise the church right there, you know. But, you know, I heard somebody preach on that one time, and they said, you know, God's going to raise up some Lazarus. They're not going to be physically dead, but they're going to be dead in various ways and fashions, you know. And so that's the thing that really excites me is that, man, you know, I think the church's finest hour is yet to come. Amen. You know, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, the church got stronger whenever the persecution came. And so I don't know, but I think, you know, as far as the church is concerned, I think we got a lot to look forward to. Amen? Amen. In fact, Miss Claire was telling me about one of her peeps that she came to church two or three Sundays ago. He went and checked himself into rehab on Monday after coming to church. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So anyway, so I just wanted to take a moment to just, you know, in the last 6 months, 8 months, we've continuing to try to pray and ask the Lord to give us creativity, give us vision, and from my perspective as the pastor, I get to see things that most of you don't get a chance to see. Sometimes you can't see the forest with the trees in the way, you know. And I just wanted to take a moment and just kind of just refresh your vision, and as well as solicit your continued participation to help me, because, you know, man, I get overwhelmed with trying to take care of all the people that come to this church. I mean, it's like overwhelming. You know, can you imagine having 1,000 kids? I'm going to let that sit in a little. 1,200 kids, 1,500 kids. But, you know, whenever you think about it, you know, from a shepherd's perspective, that's a lot of kids to take care of. And you just want to jump off the bridge sometimes. It's just like, you know, you know, or just be raptured, you know. That's better, <huh? laughs> you know, I'm ready to go, Lord, you know. But you know, people are coming in, people are broken, people are in great need, and they got, you know, just a little prayer or just a little word of advice is not going to fix their problem, you know. And so there's a lot of work to be done. Are y'all with me out there? Come on, how many of you feel that in your own family, right? I mean, it's just like, yeah, I mean, you know, and, you know, I think of like Randy and Missy there, you know, they adopted two kids, and they're, I'm sure that keeps you pretty busy, huh, Missy? Just trying to, you know, but, you know, Brian and Dawn, they got 10, you know. So there's a lot of work to do, but I wanted to just share some things with you, and I got a couple of visuals up here, and I wanted to just show you, just kind of give you a snapshot of how we look at what we're doing. This is just kind of a visual to help us understand. You know, every Sunday morning, which includes this past Sunday, you have some unchurched people in the community that end up coming to church. You know, all across town, all across the nation, you have that going on, right? And so you have people that are coming on a regular basis, and some of them weren't raised in any Christian atmosphere or any Christian home or anything like that. They don't know a whole lot about the Lord. And so, you know, a step in their spiritual growth is they start coming to weekly services. like instead of just coming once, like they come maybe even a couple of times a month. For them, that's a big deal, right? But what we're doing here, whenever we see somebody just walk into the building, in my mind and in the staff's mind, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get them to the bullseye of this target here. And so we're trying to move them from that outer ring into the bullseye. And so after they, you know, just come, and sometimes it's not necessarily church service, it might be just a special event. Our goal is to try to get them to come into weekly services. You know, and if they start coming to church, that's a big deal for them. How many of you know that's a big deal? How many of you didn't go to church at all? Whenever you step foot in the church, you're like, I hope the ceiling don't fall in. And, you know, you felt really good about yourself. I showed up at church and it wasn't a funeral and it wasn't a wedding. Amen. But we don't want them to stop there. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to get them to the very next circle or step. And if you see step one there, it represents the crowd. And so on Sunday mornings, there's a crowd of people that come, but we can't be satisfied that people just show up at church, right? So we want to get them to the next place, which is the growth track or the congregation. And whenever they get beyond just being the crowd, they're continuing to take some steps forward in their spiritual walk. And so we know that everybody that comes to the door, they're on a spiritual journey somewhere. And so, you know, as it's our job, it's like they're coming and they're looking for the good shepherd. And we are some under shepherds that are trying to get them to the good shepherd. And so we're trying to help them take this journey along the way. Are y'all tracking with me? Are y'all with me? And so, after step two and the growth track, we want to hopefully get them to step three, which is making another commitment. And for some people, that's just taking a step to get baptized, right? Just to be water baptized. That's a big deal for some people because now they're coming out of the closet. They're, you know, they don't know who's going to be there. And they're saying, you know, I know this is risky, but anybody that sees it's going to be okay because I've decided I really want to follow Jesus. And they're ready to publicly confess their decision to follow Christ. And then finally, you know, after baptism, then they get, onto the bullseye, which is the serve team. All of you guys and gals in this room are part of the serve team, the A team. You know, you are beyond just wanting to just go to church or attend church. You're at the place and the position where you're ready to just help other people along the journey. Am I right? And so what I find is that sometimes even in the midst of us trying to help people process in their spiritual journey, we can lose sight of it. Like I can lose sight of what I'm trying to do by just simply just trying to, you know, preach another sermon, you know, shake another hand, pray for another person and lose sight of, okay, what's the goal? What are we trying to do here? What is it we're trying to accomplish? And I think whenever I ball it all down, I think our goal and our number one purpose should be as leaders and as servants in the kingdom of God is to look beyond ourselves and to help other people. Why we stay saved, why we stay, keep our hearts right and keep being genuine worshipers of the Lord, right? Why we do that is to help other people along the path, right? And so, you know, the reason I say that is for you, a lot of you, you're like me. You're involved in some port, some fashion in the ministry, but I want us to not lose sight of the vision of what we're trying to do. Because the Bible says without vision, people are unrestrained or they lose their restraint or their direction or they go astray. And so I have to, for myself, renew the vision of what we're trying to do in order for us to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, because we're not satisfied if people just attend church. We want them to become part of the laborers and the servants that are reaching out and ministering to other people. Amen? And so the vision is to keep people going on their spiritual growth. Now that's the vision. Now we have a system in the place to help us accomplish what I just described. And this is what's kind of changed in the last, you know, over the years, over the past year, it's evolved a little bit because we're trying to get it narrowed down and we're trying to find ways to more successfully accomplish the vision and the mission. And part of part of me is glad about what's going on, but part of me is saying, hey, we got some work to do. We got some strides to make. And so what the system is, our growth track. And our growth track, you know, we moved it from Wednesday night to Sunday because, we're trying to make it most convenient for people. And churches are finding all across the nation is that, you know, people are getting busier and busier and they have less and less time to engage in their spiritual walk. So you got to kind of strike while the iron is hot. Amen. And so, so what we did is we moved it to Sunday and on Wednesday night, we had an hour and a half basically to teach the class. But on Sunday, we have to sandwich it in a little bit more than that. And so while people are eating, that we're teaching them. And so, what we're finding is because we're making some switches, people are like, they're going all the way through it. They're coming back the next week and they're doing it. And so, you know, it's really exciting because we're seeing like, you know, in the last 3 months, we've seen an increase of water baptisms because people are coming. They're coming on Sunday, but they're saying, you know, I'm not going to come like twice in 1 week, come to church twice in 1 week. I'm not going to do that. And so, you know, cause that's where they are, but they're saying, oh, it's right after church and you serve me a meal. I'm there. And so they come out and then while they're here, we're just telling them, listen, it's not just good enough to go to church. You got to know God and, you know, and just teaching them and you got to just take the next step in your spiritual walk and they're responding to it. Amen. And so that's encouraging because they're moving in the concentric circles and they're moving from the crowd and they're moving to the bullseye. And so for the growth track, in the first step in the growth track is to know God. And so, you know, what happens there is we say, listen, you know, it's not good enough to be a churchgoer. You got to be saved. And so we just explain that. And people are getting saved in the growth track. You know, isn't that exciting? They just got out of church. They just had an opportunity to receive Christ, but they passed up the opportunity. But when we get them in a room like this, I don't know, maybe the sandwich does it. I don't know, but, you know, maybe it's the sandwich. You know, that's probably what it is. Jesus fed the crowds fish and chips and they got saved, you know. But you know, so we're saying, okay, if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, what are you going to do now? I mean, it's not just like this little prayer and become a Christian and you're done. You got to keep going. You got to take the next step. And so then we talk to them about it's not just good enough to know God. You got to have a genuine relationship with the Lord. It's got to be real. It's got to be sincere. And so we talk to them about it's got to be intimate. You got to develop a one-on-one with God. And by the way, that's what He wants from you. And then we, at the end of the class, we say, now listen, if you're a Christian and you never got baptized, you need to get baptized. And they're like, okay, all right, where do I sign? And they're getting baptized. That's encouraging to me. Because listen, I don't want to just preach another sermon and just see another crowd of people show up. I mean, that doesn't float my boat. See, that don't make my hair stand. Unless people are growing in their walk with God, then what are we doing? We need fruit that remains. Yes. Amen. We got to have fruit that remains. We got to stand more people up on the bullseye. Amen. And so in the second class, which is in growth track or step number two, we talked to them about living free. We talked to them about, listen, you know, it's not just good enough to come out of Egypt. You got to get Egypt out of you. And so there's things, habits and things that you picked up before you became a Christian that you got to just get away. You got to release yourself from, right? And so we talked to them about discipleship. There's a difference between going to church and being a disciple, right? Amen. All of you in this room have become disciples. You didn't just come into church and just be satisfied with just going to church. Somewhere along the way, you became a disciple. A disciple of the Lord. Amen. And so we talked to him about that. And then we try to get them plugged in a small group because we know that, you know, the chances of them continuing in their walk with God is a lot greater. You know, whenever you're going through a tough time, even, you know, when Jesus described the four seeds or the four seeds and the four soils, And he said, you know, one of those seeds represents people. They accept the message, but whenever persecution and whenever the sun comes out and they have trials and tribulations, a lot of those fall off the wagon. They fall by the wayside because they get discouraged and they say, you know, this Christianity thing is not really working. And so, you know, I'm going out. And then they go back and they don't come back and they just fall away. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And so we say, listen, so, okay, we got to keep their spiritual journey going. So we try to get them involved in discipleship in life groups. And this is where I want to talk a little bit more about in a little bit. But then the next step in growth track, or step number three, we teach them discovering your purpose is teaching them about their spiritual gifts and their personality profile. And we, you know, listen, you, if you are, you know, the kind of person that likes to be behind the scenes and you just like to help people, you got the gift of hospitality, well, that's a good place for you to get involved because that really helps. How many of you know it took some work to feed all of you this today? Between all of you in this room and the ones downstairs in the growth track, it took some work. And guess what? It was done primarily by people that are helping. Amen? And so we just encourage them and we teach them about this. And then the goal in the growth track is to get them standing on the bullseye and be a part of the serve team. And listen, you know, this principle has been around for a long time. You know, back in the late 70s to early 80s, a pastor by the name of Rick Warren at Saddleback Church designed a growth track that he called the baseball diamond. Y'all remember that? That's where we started way back in the way. But he was the first pastor that figured out that you got to have a plan. You got to have a system. Because people are going to come through the doors. And if you don't have a plan and you don't have a system, it's just like those people are going to just fall through the cracks. They're going to go right through your fingers. And so, you know, the Bible says that, you know, he who wins souls is wise. And I'd like to add a little bit more to that. He who makes disciples is wise. He who can develop people that are hungry for God, that become fruit that remain, is wise. It takes wisdom. It takes planning. It takes systems. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
And so the growth tract is designed to take them through that process. Now, are you following along, right? Now, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge in the process. And the challenge is, number one, making disciples. How many of you know that's not easy to make disciples? Have y'all noticed that? It's not easy to make disciples. I mean, you have a lot more people that want to eat the fish and the chips. Then you have people that want to climb the mountain to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the Sermon on the Mount, right? In fact, whenever you think about it, Jesus, he had a whole lot of people that came out to the crowd, the meeting of the crowds, than he had that went up the mountain. But you know what? He worked with what he had. And how many of you know his plan succeeded? His plan succeeded. So part of the problem is you got to make disciples. And this is what I just really hope I can just, you know, transfer to you. Because where I feel it's just like, I'm not satisfied with how we're doing. I'm not satisfied that people raise their hand and say, I want to be saved. Oh, great. That's a great step. But then what about now? What about now? And so unless they're becoming disciples, I shouldn't be satisfied, right? I shouldn't be satisfied that they just came and they raised their hand. Don't we all know people that came in and raised their hand and prayed a little prayer and who knows where they are right now, right? So how do you get people to go on? You got to make disciples. You got to make disciples. Now think with me for a moment, you know, what's the solution to making disciples? Well, the way I see it, there's two ways to make disciples. You know, one is one-on-one. One-on-one. That's how you can make a disciple. And you see, I think sometimes I'm not as successful at making disciples because I forget this. That it's not good enough that I invited somebody to come to church and they came to church and whenever the pastor said, if you want to be saved, raise your hand, and they raise their hand and they pray the prayer, and then I just get excited about it. Praise the Lord, they came to church, they raised their hand. But I don't follow through with, okay, if they came to church and raised their hand, it's my job to take care of them, to help them. I can't force them, but at least I can make myself available. Amen? And I think if I will remember that, I will be more effective in making disciples. But if I don't see it, if I don't have the picture, then I'm never going to get it done. Because without vision, there's no restraints. Without vision, people perish. And so what I'm trying to relate to you is the best chance of making disciples in this church is with the people that are sitting in this room. It's not that this is all of them, but the best chance is the people that are sitting in this room. Because you have been a disciple, and how many of you know you got to be a disciple before you can make a disciple? You got to learn how to be a follower before you can learn how to be a leader. You're never going to be a good leader if you don't know how to be a good follower. Because you're going to lead like you followed, and that ain't going to work real good. Right? And you have proven that you're committed. And so what I'm asking you to do is just to just see what I'm saying today. And so that every time you walk into the doors of the church, you don't just see the crowd, but you see the opportunity to make a disciple. Are y'all with? Y'all still tracking with me? And so, you know, it's one-on-one. And then the other way that we know is successful in making disciples is life groups or small groups. Because really, whenever you think about it, I run into people and and they say, I said, now how long have you been coming to church? Oh, about 2 years. And I don't even know who they are. I don't even know their name. In fact, I want to say, are you sure, like Family Life Church? You know, and I know my eyes can't see too far beyond the second row, but it's like you could just come and hide in the crowd and just never, you know. I remember I was going to my mailbox one day, and about 5 o'clock the traffic kind of backs up on Landry Road, and I was going to the mailbox and the cars had kind of backed up, and I hear, Pastor Todd, and I was like, yeah, and this lady is in a car and she pulls into my driveway. It's like, oh, all right. So, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, and you know who I am? No, I don't know who you are. Oh, yeah, I go to your church. I say, oh, okay. All right, yeah, your face kind of looks familiar. And it really did. I wasn't lying. But she had bandages all over her. I said, what happened? She's like, oh, I just got out of the hospital. I said, what happened? She said, well, my mother-in-law was watching our kids, and we had 2 pit bulls, and one of the pit bulls turned on my mother-in-law just whenever I got home. I got home to see the pit bull chewing my mother-in-law. And I stepped in to save my mother-in-law, and the pit bull jumped on me. And the neighbor heard all the ruckus and came out just in time to kill the pit bull and save my life. And she said, I got to the point where I just decided, I guess I'm not going to make it. I was about to give up and quit fighting off the pit bull. And so, you know, she was, you know, she said, I'm having nightmares and all this. And I said, well, listen, do you know anybody in the church? She said, no. So, well, you got to know somebody in the church. You can't go through something like this without somebody helping you. Yeah. Amen. But you know what I found is the people that need help the most are the ones least likely to reach out and try to get some help. Yeah. You know, it's like You know, for whatever reason, you know, hey, listen, how many of you know there's a lot of brokenness in our society? Broken, fractured relationships and all that going on. And some people, they're afraid to get close to somebody. They're afraid to make a friend with somebody because they don't trust relationships. And for me to tell them, hey, you need to make a friend, they're like, I ain't making no friend. But you know, I don't know if you remember me telling you that story of that little chihuahua that was my pet. And that little chihuahua, we had some neighbors, some visitors, and the little chihuahua went to barking at the neighbors, and one of my family members kicked the chihuahua, and the chihuahua went flying and hit the ground, and of course, you know, when the chihuahua hit the ground, you know, started yelping and you know, ran under the house and wouldn't come out from under the house, days, and it was my dog. So I was concerned that my dog was going to die. I'd go to try to get it out. It wouldn't come out. But every day I would go and just give it a little bit of food. And it wouldn't come out, but I would just put some food because I didn't want the dog to die. And so every day I would try to coerce the dog to come out, give it a little bit of food. And slowly, over time, that little dog started coming out. And eventually that little dog started eating out of my hand. And then eventually came out from under the house. And I think that's a picture. We got a lot of chihuahuas in our church. Amen. If you'd pardon me for the expression. We have a lot of chihuahuas that have been kicked. And they don't want to come out from under the house. They're afraid to get close to anybody. Because everybody they've gotten close to has kicked them. And so to get them in discipleship is real challenging. But you know, I think all of us in this room can be the person that just gives them a little bit of food. Can just reach out a little bit. And if we start just thinking this way, I think we can better make some disciples. Amen? Amen? And so I think that, you know, whenever Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 9, the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I think the strategy is to have intentional leaders, to see that, listen, whenever we're talking to somebody, we want to get them from concentric circle to concentric circle, and we want to get them to the bullseye, which means we want to get them to the place where they're just not attending church, but they're growing in their relationship with God, and they're starting to reach out to others, inviting them to church. They're starting to reach out to others and encourage other people. And whenever, listen, Jesus only had 11 because one of them flaked out. And with 11, he rocked the world. Now, we ain't Jesus, but we got his principles. Amen? We got his principles. So are y'all with me? Y'all still tracking with me? You know, a couple Sundays ago, there was a lady that came up. Miss Dixie was telling me the story. There was a lady that came up and got saved, actually. And Dixie was talking to her and just ministering to her and just loving on her. And she said, do you know Debbie Sinnott? It's like, yeah, I sure do. Said, can you show me Debbie Sinnott? And so Debbie just happened to be just a few feet away. And Dixie said, yeah, look, in fact, she's right there, and introduced her to Miss Debbie. And so later on, Dixie found out the story and told me about it. But Gary's been helping us. He'll come here. He's had some health issues. His back has been giving some problems. But he comes out on Friday and spends a half a day in the office taking calls when people have issues and they call in, you know, just pastoral type stuff. And this lady called in for counseling. And so Gary got the call and made connections with them. And so Gary and Debbie been praying for this lady. Never met her. Just talking to her on the phone. But she tells Dixie, they've helped me a lot and I'd like to meet them. But here she was in church getting saved because Debbie and Gary just begin to pray for her and just encourage her. Isn't that a great story? And so listen, so, you know, I think this story can be repeated over and over again. But for me, I feel like I have to just, okay, refocus. Just focus in. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to get people to grow spiritually. And so I think we have to be intentional leaders. And we need to be shepherds. Do you remember the story in Exodus 18? Whenever Moses, the Bible says Moses was taking care of the people from sunup to sundown. And he was, what's your problem? What you need? You know, well, you need to do X, Y, Z. Well, you know, you need to forgive. You need to love. You need to, you know, whatever. And his father-in-law, Jethro, saw what he was doing. And he said, Moses, what you're doing is not good. It's not good for you and it's not good for the people. So he says, you got to do this differently. And so remember, he said, you need to get some people that are over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, over 10. Remember that? And he said, you know, listen, let them help you. And so the thing that's been rolling around in me and in my spirit is I think we need to get back to the Jethro principle. I think we need to get back to discipleship. Because I think we can make a difference in people's lives. And you know, as busy as life is, you know, like Ryan and Sherman, we're just talking about, they got five kids. How many of you know five kids will keep you busy? You know, we had one, and one kept us pretty busy. Five will keep you pretty busy, huh, Kelly? And so, you know, so how do you make disciples? How do you build the kingdom of God? How do you reach out to others while you're trying to disciple your family? While you're trying to raise your own family? While you're trying to keep your family healthy and strong? You know, I think that's why he said, you got to reduce the numbers. I think that's why Jesus, he only had 11. But he focused in on them and he just spent time investing in them. And that succeeded in reaching the world. And so I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. I don't think we have to come up with a new philosophy and a new strategy to reach the community. I think it's already been given to us. Amen? And so this is what, you know, let me tell you one more story about two Wednesdays ago, I was counseling and carried over while church started. And so whenever I got done, I was walking down the stairs, my back door stairs, and there was just this loud noise. It sounded like one of them mosquito trucks, you know, this mosquito spray trucks, you know. But it was real loud. It was like right there by the playground. And so I started just figuring out where the noise was. And it was one of our big AC units for the A building that was going out. And it was screaming. And so I went, made my way into the building and went, turn it off before we had a blow up, you know. And so after that, there was a bunch of people in the building. And so I got to go tell all these people I had to turn the AC off because they might be about ready to come out of that building like, what has happened, you know. And so I went room by room everywhere I could tell somebody was there. And I just poked my head in and say, listen, I had to turn the AC. If it gets hot, y'all are just going to have to shut down early. But I got a chance to see from room to room some small groups going on. And I'm just, all this is stirring around in me. And I'm just thinking about, you know, we've been having classes like, your class was, Regina was having Battlefield of the Mind class, and, you know, she had a bunch of ladies in there, and marriage class, and parenting class, and, you know, different things like that. And it just kind of dawned on me. You know, I think one of the ways that I've gone wrong is I'm thinking just because you have a small group, discipleship is happening. And to some level it is. But how many of you know you can learn a lot, but not become a disciple? You know, and what I realize is for me, I think I was putting more emphasis on informational meetings instead of relational meetings. Because discipleship happens in the context of relationship, not informational meetings. Because some of you know you can learn and learn and learn and learn, be never ending in learning, and never become mature in your faith. Amen? We got to connect with people one-on-one. So I had this thought, man, what if Regina, whenever she finished, and by the way, she's been doing small groups for a while, but what if she just, if the light comes on and she realizes these ladies that have come in her class are potential disciples? And you know, in regardless of how you break it down, not everybody's going to be a disciple. Some people's going to come for the fish and the chips. And after they get their fish and the chips, they're out of there. But I believe the Lord will give us some disciples. And what if next time she has a class, she don't wait to see who's going to sign up. She calls these people and say, or by the time she ends the class and say, hey, y'all want to have another round? How about we do another class, another subject, and let's meet together? And that way she's starting to build relationships. Are you seeing what I'm saying? She's starting to build relationships with these ladies.
I've got three ladies that came to this class that was in the last class.
I think that's potential candidates right there. Amen? But you know, and so, you know, it's kind of like the light went on. Instead of just having a small group, let's think disciples. Whenever we run into people and meeting people in church, let's think spiritual growth. Where are they in the concentric circles? And how can I get them to the next step in their journey? Because I don't want to just greet somebody. I want to see them grow in their faith. Amen? And that's why the little card, just to kind of give you a reminder, just like, okay, let me remember, let me think of where is this person in their spiritual journey and what can I do to help them take their next step in their spiritual walk? Amen? And who knows, we might get a chance to get some people in the bullseye where before we know it, they're sitting next to us side by side and they're reaching out just like we're reaching out and they're making disciples. Amen?
Amen.
One more little story, and I'm going to be concluding here. But, you know, while I was going through those classrooms, as I told you on that Wednesday night, one of the couples that was doing one of the small groups was Brian and Dawn Gotro. Y'all know Brian and Dawn Gotro? They got 10 teenagers. Say, help them, Lord. We got 10 teenagers. But, you know, I was thinking about Brian and Dawn, and I just had a little flashback. But for years, Don and Kathy had a small group. And for years, Don and Brian attended Don and Kathy's small group and built relationships. And now you fast forward years, there's Brian and Don. There's some disciples, Don and Kathy, some disciples that are now reaching out to other people and helping other people in their journey. Do you think Don and Kathy's time invested in that couple was well deserved? I think so. And so here's what I know. I know everybody's life is busy. And you know, I don't know. I was thinking, man, 10 might be too much today. With the busyness of life. You know what I'm saying? Jesus had 11. I don't know, but I believe that what we need to do is just keep our eyes, spiritual eyes, wide open and just get the vision of God wants to use us to build His kingdom. He don't want us to just gather a crowd, whether it's in church on Sunday or whether it's a small group. It's great for them to learn and to grow in knowledge, but He wants us, I think He said we should make disciples, right? We should make disciples. And you know, I remember when I first got saved and God laid on my heart to start a Bible study in Erath. And I called Brother Francis and I said, Brother Francis, I feel like the Lord wants me to do a Bible study. He said, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. That's a great idea. I said, well, the only problem is I don't know the Bible. I was like maybe a couple months old in the Lord, you know? And he's like, well, and he just chuckled. He said, you don't have to know the whole Bible. He said, we can help you. And so I met with him and he just gave me a little bit of instruction and we launched out. And I don't know if y'all know Doug and Lynette Renard. Doug was one of those. Of course, we were living together. He had to come. But I don't know if you'll know Tony and Debbie Stute. But that was another couple that was coming into that Bible study. Dick and Carla Menard. You know, as I look back, man, that was some well spent time right there. Amen? Amen. So look, here we are. We were born and we're going to die. I don't know when that is, but somewhere along the way, they're going to fill in that headstone with a start and a stop, right? We just got one life to live. We got one chance. I want to spend it the best way I can for the kingdom of God and for His glory. And I know you do too. Amen? And so what I want to encourage you to do is just think about spiritual growth. And that God wants to use us to help people grow spiritually. And I think, you know, if each of us in this room had three disciples and we invested in them and brought them to grow, you know, you'll have the crowd. Like Tony, on Friday nights, you have a crowd. But in the crowd, you're going to have some disciples. You're always going to have people that are coming more than for just the meal. And that's who you really... Jesus spent time with the crowds. And He spent time with 70. And He spent time with 11. And then He spent time with 3. And then He spent time with 1. He used His time so wisely. It makes me feel like I need to be saved. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you to just be praying about this and say, Lord, Who do you want me to disciple? Bring the ones in my life. And listen, they may be... Remember back in the Brother Francis cell group days? Life group days? He'd tell the life group leaders, look around you, who sits around you. And man, sometimes we were arm wrestling for people in church. Remember that? It's just like, you know, Steve and Felicia, you know, they laugh and they say the story, you know. They came into church the first day. Tony and Debbie Stute invited them to lunch, you know, and took them to lunch. They like, they mine. But, you know, we had people just with the vision of, just reaching out. And they also tell the story of, you know, they went to one of the life groups they went to later on. That they got to the life group one day and the husband and wife were having a fight, you know? And they just had to help the couple leading the group, make up, you know? And somehow they never ran away from that, right? But anyway, so, you know, I think God will use us and help us to reach others. Is it hot in here? It's hot up here. Might be because I've been talking for a few hours. Amen. Are y'all receive this? Does that bear witness with your spirit? I'm hoping to just deposit in you what I feel like the Lord's been stirring in my heart. And you can't do a lot. You can't. Your flock can't be too big, or you're gonna be like Moses, and you're gonna need a Jethro to say what you're doing is not good. But I believe that the Lord will give us. He'll give us some disciples. He'll bring people. Just ask Him, Lord, would you give me eyes to see? God, would you just give me the ability to spot them when you bring them in my life? I think God will bring people in our path that just have a divine connection. For some reason, they like you more than most people. For some reason, they think you got it all together more than most people. Y'all know what I'm saying? For some reason, they just feel comfortable with you. I think it's divine. I think it's a God-given divine situation. Amen? And if we'll just take advantage of those, I believe God will help us to reach people. Amen. Y'all ready to go home? Yeah. Any questions?
No. I just wanted to say that saying, you may not realize this, but you know, you've got this gift. Now, we were talking recently in our live group, there's a lady that came, and it was so unanimous among the group, but we called it out. We said, you may not realize this, but you've got the gift of faith. Just the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you, you know, and this is in the midst of quite a few tribulations going on in her life, she had the gift of faith. And everybody was like, yeah, you really have the gift of faith. Now, I'm thinking, that's disciple.
That's right. That's right. It's more than just presenting a lesson, but it's just paying attention to what's going on in that person's life. And, you know, discipleship happens whenever they come to your group and they had a bad week, a bad life, and they come and they tell you about it, and you just put your arm around them and you encourage them, and they don't give up. They stay in the game, and next thing you know, God begins to take them out of Egypt and sends them towards the promised land, and they sense it and feel it, and they're like, man, I'm sticking with this, man. Things are looking up. Amen? But that's it. That's the nuts and bolts. Amen. Any other comment or question or word from the Lord? Are y'all with me? Does it make sense? Come on, how many of you feel like you could do this? Amen.
All things are possible.
Yes. You know, I'm not 22 years old anymore. And what I realize is that sooner or later, my season of ministering is going to be over. And I'm beginning to think more and more, what fruit is going to remain whenever I'm done? And I know those that I just say hi to that are passing are not going to be the fruit that remains. But the fruit that remains are those that I'm going to disciple. And that's what happened to Jesus, right? We don't know about the crowds that he ministered to, but we know about a few faithful disciples. And they kept that thing going, and it's still going, and here we are. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray together, and I'll just release you. Father, thank you so much for such faithful, devoted disciples, Lord. I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, their investment. I thank you, Lord, for, God, just the time, the energy that they have sowed into the kingdom of God, even up to now. And God, I pray that you would just help us just continue, Lord, to just hone in and to refocus and to, Lord, to rifle, Lord, our energy and our approach and our ministry, Lord, so that we can just make some disciples that go into spiritual maturity. Lord, disciples that'll be fruit that remains. Father, we thank you for just allowing us to be a part of your family and your kingdom. And Lord, I pray your anointing increase on everyone that's in this room right now. Lord, I pray that God, you would just multiply, that you would just multiply their influence and their effectiveness in reaching, Lord, those that are around them. And Lord, I pray that together, that Lord, as we link arms, as we work together, that Lord, we will continue to build and strengthen the kingdom of God for years and years to come. Thank you, Lord God, for just blessing me and blessing this church with such faithful people. We pray in the mighty and the strong name of Jesus. Amen.